Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio.
Oh, look, you know, I mean, things ended with Jack in an amicable fashion. I think from his perspective, he toured the facility, probably made the decision in the end to stay where he is, and we understand that. You know, we've gone through this process during the trade period a number of times where you speak to players, and ultimately they don't all end up choosing your club, and that's fine. You know, but you've got to be in it to win it.
That's Chris Davies of Port Adelaide Football Club talking about the Jack Graham situation. It became very public last week when the two-time premiership player at Richmond went and had a tour of the power facilities. It was on the back of him just wanting to explore opportunities, and also back on the back of an invitation from Port to come over to have a look after Tim Taranto, which is going down as an official trade with Richmond. Expected also Stephen Hopper to create some genuine competitive tension in that midfield group at Richmond, of which Jack Graham has been part of and will continue to be part of, given that he's not going to Port, Sauce.
Well, is that? Did he just go over and have a look, or did they commit to him?
Well, I don't think you just jump on a plane and bob up at a footy club and get a tour with the coach and others there, and also have the cameras there either at the same time.
So whose decision was it? Like, was that Jack Graham's or
Jack
Port?
Graham? Well, you tell me if you know more than I do. Jack Graham wanted to explore what was out there, and he's obviously from South Australia. There'd been interest prior to this particular period in time for him in the past. Obviously, with Taranto coming in, the expected acquisition also of Hopper, he did look, and Port Adelaide suggested to him, maybe come and have a look and see what you think of our facilities here. And I think he went over there, which is my belief, Sauce. He went over there thinking that if this all goes well and I want to say yes to them, I'll go there. But clearly some developments with the Jason Horne-Francis situation after that have meant that
that's been
Jack Graham's not going there.
Yeah, I just find it, particularly with Richmond and even his management group, that he would go over there just to he's got a year left on his contract.
I think it's 2 years. Well, given that there's some KPIs he needs to meet to make it a 2-year extension, but I don't think they're that difficult
to make. I find it very strange that he just went over there, met the coach, flew over there, the camera's there, and then all of a sudden he's not going.
Is that because of what's happened with Jason
Horne-Francis? I'm just reading between the lines here. I just think if the Horne-Francis thing's popped up, they've obviously, you know, they've changed tact here and thought, okay, we've got an opportunity to get Horne-Francis over Jack Graham. So I probably feel for the kid if that's the case, that, you know, they have committed to him, and all of a sudden they've changed tact.
Do you think it was a commitment?
More
than just come and sound it out.
My understanding is that he was a priority for them. But that changed tack since, which I can understand from a football club's point of view. Mm. If I'm a management group, I'd be bitterly disappointed knowing that I've put my player through that situation, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's keen to get there, and then all of a sudden they've changed tack. That happens because the football club has got to do the best thing for the club.
Now, and with due respect to Jack Graham, if it's Jack Graham and Jason Horne-Francis on the wall and you've got a choice of one, now one comes with, I think you take Jason Horne-Francis, do you, David? Is that? I know that doesn't always work that way, but
no, it doesn't. It might have been, to Chris, I really like the way Chris operates the club. Maybe they got over there and Jack's spoken to Kenny about the role and going, yeah, I'm sort of playing a similar sort of role where I am, you know? Like, why would I move? There might be some financial incentives. There might be a little bit of that in there. There might also be the fact that you get a young talent you can build your midfield around for the next 10 years, and you go, well, if you weigh it up, you go, well, we might need to go in a bit more on Jason than you will on Jack. But there may well be some truth, or certainly from my side of things, from Chris to say, look, yep, he's decided not to come. Maybe on the basis of the role that he spoke to Kenny about and going, I'm playing a similar role, I'll just stay where I am.
Yeah, look. I don't have all the details here, but all I'm saying is that they are the difficult decisions that can happen during trade week, that all of a sudden something else pops up, and you got to understand you've got a player and a management group involved here. How you handle that is really important, because you're going to have to take a hit from a club point of view, knowing that, you know what, we've gone a fair way down the path with this particular player. We've brought him over. He's met the coach. He's met players. He's this, that, and whatever.
Yeah, there's investment.
And then
there,
all of a sudden, okay, something's popped up over here that we like a little bit better. It's managing that player and that management group as well, that you've got to try and keep that relationship with that management group. And I get it with Port. Like, you know, like if you've got a player out of there that can really help you and he's got a 10-year future compared to a 5 or 6 year future, I know what I'd be doing, you know. So, but it's about managing that. And they're the difficult things some clubs have to go through at times.
Yeah. Look, all reports too. Now, so let's just remind our listeners how it works. When a player gets drafted in the first round, there's an elevated income that's greater than the second round and third round, et cetera. But say a first-round draft pick, and then a one draft pick that Jason Horne-Francis was, what would he have been on by way of the standard player contract for North Melbourne this year and last year? Is it about
90 grand, is it, the state?
And then match payments on top of all that?
It's more than that now.
110?
Keep going. I think it's
120?
Yeah.
Plus match?
Plus match. Yeah. Incentives.
And is the match part of that negotiable?
No, there's nothing negotiable in the first two years.
Yeah,
it's all set.
So could you, if you play the 22 matches, and he played 17, so would he have got close to $200,000 this year? Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. So that's what he's on next year, and that's not, yeah. Now, is that negotiable now that he's moving clubs? Can he get as much as what I believe to be $800,000 that is part of the offer to become a power player? Can that kick in next year?
Yeah, first 2 years are standard. The only thing you may be able to get in there are best and fairest results and I'm not too sure what you can get through. Generally say it's top five. When it gets 50, to the fifth gets 10, or might even scale even differently than that. But I'm not too sure if you say you finish top five, you can get an extra 180. I'm not too sure whether you'd get that amount through, but you can do BNF incentives.
Okay, yeah. So you're guaranteed by way of the standard player contract for 2 years as a draftee.
Yeah. Yep. So
those draftees that after 1 year renegotiate, can money be brought forward to that second year? Or you're saying no?
Hit me with that again.
Okay, I know
what you're saying.
So Nick Dacos, for instance, would have signed a 2 year deal like everyone else. If Collingwood was to renegotiate that deal now, could he get a whole lot more money next year, which would be second year?
No.
So the money you're getting and the contract you're offering, it's all for beyond that second year. So Jason Horne-Francis, even as a new player at a new club next year with a fresh deal, will still only be on about $200,000.
Which is something possibly the AFL can look at in terms of that. If you do renegotiate an extension on your contract, maybe that's something they can look at, that their second year doesn't have to be the standard play contract. It can actually be brought, money can be brought into that second year.
It's all been part of the CBA negotiations and a tool that allows, or the AFL feels, helps clubs manage a little bit of their cap in that early days until you know what the talent's going to deliver.
Yeah, okay.
Because we had the same with Cam Rayner, with Paul Connors. First two were set, you can't touch those, and then beyond that, you're on the open market.
After that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate of ours, Kane Corns, is always banging on about, in his eyes, which I don't agree with, the need to extend those contracts of the player at the draft stage. And he's of a view that 4 years, I don't see that ever being considered by the Players Association, given the restraint of trade elements around all that. But to me, it wouldn't solve any problems. I mean, Jason Horne-Francis would want to leave after 1 year, whether he had a 1 year, a 2 year, a 3 year, or a 6 year deal. He would still request to leave now.
What about had he extended his contract before the start of the season? So does that help that you can actually go, okay, you
before he's even played a game.
Yeah, so you, before he's even played a game.
He probably would have still asked to leave anyway, wouldn't he? The way it's unfolded.
Yeah, maybe not. I think you would have, when you walk into a club, you're fairly happy straight away and whatnot. So I think that's an area we need to look at. I haven't got a solution to it. Mm. But there's a
choice to re-sign.
Yeah, it is. But look, I think anything.
It's not a contracted arrangement.
More often than not, it's the go-home factor, isn't it? Like all
nine times out of ten.
So that's the thing. And really right at the minute, North with Horne-Francis has got 2 years if they want to stick to it, but it's 1 year, you know. So you look at the interstate clubs, you know, some of the establishment clubs, and you they find it very difficult. And our aim when we went to the Giants was, let's try and get them for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, get it to the 4 year, and then they can make their call. They're more mature.
Yeah.
If we can get them settled, and then whatever happens after that happens. So from a club point of view, it's nice to know that you get them for 4 years and you can develop them through the VFL system and you're not forced to play them, because if you don't play them, there's a good chance they are homesick and they're going to get an offer to go back home, particularly if they're a high selection.
A lot of managers are helpful, though, in that space.
Yeah, they are.
They are helpful in the sense that, as a general rule, I think, in most cases where I've dealt in sauces exactly the same, they have helped extend that because they feel like you're going to invest a lot of time and effort into that player.